This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, a Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Dear radio friends, how is your prayer life? Are you one who prays often? Do you always know what to pray? Are you comfortable in the presence of God? Are your prayers characterized by worship of God and reverence for Him? Or do you only pray when you feel an immediate need for yourself? I ask those questions because we need instruction in prayer. We not only need to learn what prayer is and how to pray, but it's something that we need to learn to do. No one should be able to say, "I'm satisfied with my prayer life. I pray enough." In fact, the more we pray, the more we will see our need of prayer. The true measure of a person is his prayer life, what he prays, how often he prays, and so on. We sometimes say a man is what he reads, or you can know a man by his friends. The true measure of a man is not what he is before men, his public life, but when he is alone in his private time before God. What is he then? Who is he when it's just him and God? This shows us the importance and the necessity of learning about prayer. Our instructor in prayer is Jesus Christ. He himself was a man of constant prayer during his ministry. He would pray at night going into the mountain while his disciples traveled or while they slept. You remember the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane immediately before his death, and he prayed earnestly before God. The disciples observed that Jesus was a man of prayer, and so in Luke 11 they came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus gave to them the model for prayer in what we now call the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. We want to be instructed out of this model in the coming weeks on the subject of prayer. First today, though, we want to know, what is prayer? And the answer to that is first that prayer is a miracle and a gift of God to us sinners. It's something that we should treasure. It's something that we should use often in our lives. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve would walk with God day by day in the garden and commune with Him. But Adam and Eve's fall into sin put a separation between them and God. And this is what sin does. Isaiah says, "Your sin separates between you in your God." That's what the sin of Adam and Eve did in the beginning. And God left them. Adam and Eve hid from the presence of God, and God no longer came and talked with them in the garden at the end of each day. Instead, God gave to Adam and Eve and to us the gift of prayer. God speaks to us now through the Scriptures and through the Gospel, chiefly through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God makes it possible for us to talk to Him through prayer. We can only do this as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so it's important for us not only to learn to pray as Jesus prayed, but to learn to pray believing on Him and coming to the Father, to God, through Jesus Christ. When we pray, we should remember that God is the great Creator. He's a just and a holy God. He's over all. He's the transcendent God. He comes down to us in the revelation of the gospel. And the beauty of prayer is this, that God comes to us in such a way that we can know and experience His presence, and we can communicate back with Him through prayer. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a miracle. Prayer is a great gift from God. And it's a miracle that God works in us through regeneration, making us desire to come to Him and making us want to come and talk to Him through prayer. It's a mercy for us to be able to pray, even if we receive nothing from God in prayer. The very fact that we can talk to God in prayer is a great gift. In the second place, prayer is communion. It is the believer's fellowship and conversation with God. God is a communicating God. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks within Himself as the triune God. The important thing for us to remember is that God's speech must be first, and our prayers should reflect what God says to us. God gives us prayer so that we can talk to Him. He has revealed to us the mysteries and the secrets of Himself and of the way of salvation. His Holy Spirit comes into us and awakens us to these things, and prayer is our return speech to Him in that conversation of salvation. The Bible speaks of God as a Father, especially in reference to prayer, and that conveys the intimacy of God. God is a God of love. We are His children, and in prayer it's as though He receives us children onto His lap, and we're able to speak with Him. In the third place, prayer is the act of consciously putting oneself in the presence of God. In prayer, we come into the presence of God with knowledge, with awareness, with the consciousness of who He is. There's a sense in which we are always in the presence of God. In Psalm 139, the psalmist makes plain that there's nowhere that we can go to escape the presence of God. But it's true in our lives that we're very often preoccupied with so many things, and God then is far from our thoughts. Prayer is the pause in our busy life to bring us back into the presence of God, to bring us face to face with God. That's why we sometimes close our eyes when we pray, as a symbol of shutting out the world and bringing us into the presence of God. Prayer is heavenly. Prayer transports us from the earth into God's dwelling place, into the throne of His grace. When we think of prayer this way, a conscious entering into the presence of God, that helps us to be more prayerful. Sometimes we think very narrowly of prayer as something that we do when we simply fold our hands and bow our heads and speak. But the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We can't always stop to pray, but prayer is something that we ought to be doing all the time. We ought to be living day by day and moment by moment in the presence of God. Prayer is, in a sense, a concession to our human weakness, our forgetfulness, our sin. God gives us prayer so that we are able to remember Him and to come again into His presence. That's what prayer is. It's a gift from God, it's communion between the child of God and his Father in heaven, and it's a conscious entering of the child of God into the presence of God. It's important that we understand what kind of prayer is pleasing to God. Not all prayer is true and acceptable prayer. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." He's telling us that God doesn't necessarily hear all prayer. God doesn't hear the prayer of an ungodly and an unbelieving man. And God does not always hear our prayers either when we approach Him in the wrong way. And so, what are the qualifications of a true and acceptable prayer before God? There are four. First of all, we must pray to God as He has revealed Himself in the Bible. God is not a weak God, unable to answer our prayers. He's not a deaf God who doesn't hear our prayers. He's not a blind God who doesn't see our needs. He's not a changing God who will do something once and then change His course of action. He's not a God who's just there for us in times of emergency. But God has revealed Himself in the Scriptures as the all-knowing, everywhere present, almighty, sovereign, merciful, saving God. And all these things must be in our mind as we come before God in prayer. Another part of what God has revealed about Himself in the Scripture is that He can only be approached through His Son, Jesus Christ. We must take the gospel and salvation into account when we pray. Jesus says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so we must pray in the name of Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus as our Savior. Second, true prayer is prayer in which we pray to God as He has commanded us to pray. God has certainly commanded us to bring our needs before Him in prayer. He wants us to pray for the needs of our body as well as the needs of our soul. But sometimes God does not answer us when we ask for things concerning our body. And the reason is that our great concern in prayer should be for our spiritual needs, for the needs of our soul. And God sometimes will withhold us what we want for our bodies in order to strengthen our souls. But our prayers should not only be petitions, or even primarily or first petitions. If our prayers were only petitions concerning ourselves, then we insult God. Jesus teaches us in the pattern of the Lord's Prayer to pray first for God, for the honor of His name, for the coming of His kingdom, for the doing of His will. And so our prayer should also include praise of God and thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us. So many people pray for all kinds of trivial things and nothing more. But God, in true prayer, wants us to pray as He has commanded us in His Word. Third, for our prayers to be true and acceptable to God, we should know our needs and our misery before God. That is, we should be humble in our approach to Him. True humility comes only when we know God and who He is and ourselves before Him. When we understand that, that bears on our prayers. Then we will always come in Christ. Then we will never expect from God what we ask of Him, as though God is under some obligation towards us. True prayer is prayer in which the sinner is humble before God. Then fourth, in true prayer we must come to God without doubting. That is, we must come with faith. We must not come as sniveling and whining children to God, but we must come confidently through His Son, Jesus Christ, believing that as God has given us His Son, He will, with Him, freely give us all things that we need for body and soul. Even a person who's humble can pray this way because he depends not on himself for acceptance before God, but he comes through the blood of the Son of God. In the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 5, James says that we should ask in faith, nothing wavering. In Hebrews we learn that we should come with boldness unto the throne of grace. God does not hear the prayer of one who doubts whether God is able or willing to answer his prayer. Another important question on the subject of prayer is this: why do we need to pray? Perhaps you say, well, God is all-knowing. God knows all my needs, so I don't need to pray to Him. It's true, in prayer we don't tell something to God that He doesn't already know. God is, you might say, the immutable God, so prayer doesn't change God and what He does. So why do I need to pray? God is the sovereign God. How can I dare to approach Him and ask Him for things? And there's certainly some truth in that. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." And when Jesus is speaking to His disciples in Matthew 6, He says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." In Psalm 56, the psalmist, "Thou knowest all my tears." So God knows our situation. The question then is, why do we still need to pray? It's important for us to understand that when God gives to us the gift of prayer, He's not giving us something that He needs, but something that we need. Does God need prayer? No. Does prayer change God? No. But do I need prayer as a Christian in this world? And the answer is yes. Imagine a life without prayer. In prayer, God, as it were, ties Himself to my human need of communication, of knowledge, and of trust in Him. He says, "I don't need these people to pray to me to make me to change my will. but because they need it, because they need a sense of dependence and trust and a knowledge of my dealings with them, I will give them the gift of prayer, and I will tie them to the means of prayer in their life. This is why God gives us prayer. Prayer changes us, not God. Prayer is a way for us to come into subjection to the will and the dealings of God with us in our lives. In that way, prayer is the way in which we receive God's blessing in our life. God, as it were, ties himself to the means of prayer as the way in which he will give us the things that we need. What is it that God gives to us in prayer? What are we really asking of God when we pray? Well, sometimes we pray and we're asking for things for our earthly needs, for our body, and for our life here in the world. We ask for health. Perhaps somebody asks for a husband or a wife. There are other good petitions that the children of God make. But God doesn't always answer us by giving us those things, but still we must understand God does answer our prayers. What we need in answer to our prayers is not necessarily the thing that we ask, but the grace of God and His Holy Spirit to give us contentment in our situation in life. This is the teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 11 when he's talking about asking of God things that we need. He says, "Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Then he uses an illustration. He says, "If a son shall ask bread of him who is a father, he won't give him a stone, but he'll give him bread. If he asks for a fish, he won't give him a snake to eat, but he'll give him the fish that he needs." And then Jesus adds this, verse 13 of Luke 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Notice how Jesus says God answers our prayers, not always by giving us the thing that we ask, but by giving us what we need. We need grace and the Holy Spirit, and God has determined to give his grace and Holy Spirit through prayer to those who make this petition of him. This means that when we come to God in prayer, we should always pray as Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And we should pray that God will help us to have contentment and submission to his will for our lives. Another reason that we need to pray is this, that God has commanded his people to pray. The Heidelberg Catechism, a Reformation creed, calls prayer the chief part of thankfulness in the life of the Christian. It's important for us to understand what that means. We show our thankfulness to God in many other ways. We show our thankfulness to God in our worship of him. We show our thankfulness to God in our godly living. We show our thankfulness to God by believing in the gospel of his Son. But prayer is an important part of our life in which we show that we are thankful to God for what he has done to us. Prayer is the response of the saved sinner to God's work for him, to God's grace in his life. When we call prayer thankfulness, we're confessing that God has done something for us. He's not only spoken to us, but he's revealed himself to us as our Savior in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our prayer is a simple acknowledgement of God and gratitude to God for what he has done for us. When we're negligent in prayer, then we're not recognizing God and we're not recognizing what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. In prayer, we offer ourselves up to God. Prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Prayer is an act of dedication, an acknowledgement of our commitment to God. And so prayer must be primary in the life of the Christian. And so as we finish today, let's understand the importance and the necessity of prayer in our life. Prayer is a calling, and prayer is something that we need to do. A person who does not pray is not saying, "Well, God is sovereign, so I don't need to pray to him. He already knows my needs." But a person who refuses to pray is saying, "I don't need God. And I don't need to trust and depend upon God." Prayer is an acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God and of our trust in him. In prayer, We give God His proper place. We acknowledge Him as the Creator and the Provider. And we look to Him to help us and to supply our needs. In true prayer, we don't hope to change God, but we hope that He will teach us to submit to Him. God is God. He doesn't need to change, but we do, and that's why we pray. And God, through prayer, shows us His way, His will, and He gives us the grace to submit to Him and to be thankful. In prayer, we worship God as God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Thou art God, and Thou hast given us a marvelous gift in prayer. Thou dost speak to us, and allow us also to come and speak to Thee. This is all possible through Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for Him. We pray, Lord, that we may be diligent in prayer and show the genuineness of our Christianity and our faith by living before Thee day by day and moment by moment, trusting in Thee and acknowledging Thee as God. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.